We're live. So welcome to the hangout, guys. Everybody, we've got China Guitar Skeptic, aka Michael. We've got Lewis the Tone King.
Hello, Michael, everybody.
Michael from Guitar Gate as well.
Howdy.
We've got a... Oh, let me just mute my sound on my other stream before we do the... Here we go. That's better. We don't want any feedback. We got Nick in the States is back. So welcome, man. Good to see you back online. And we've got Steve from Boston.
Hello, hello.
The man.
Good evening.
With the cheapest mic, but still somehow sounds the best.
By far.
So thanks for doing this, guys. I thought what we'd do today is just have a chat about music, guitars, anything in general. Take some questions. If anyone has anything they'd like to sort of lead off into an area of discussion, that's totally cool too. So I'm not necessarily
I have a lead off.
Cool.
Did everybody see Tone King's finished Flying V?
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
Sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is. Well done. So
you've had it for a little bit now.
I've had it for about 24 hours.
24 hours. All right.
It's a stunning guitar.
Let's hear.
You want to see it? Should I pull it out?
Yeah. Get it out.
You have to.
Hang on.
I think of all the things out of GitCon, this was like the sickest thing, right? Have you seen this thing? it's like a flying V times a billion.
Yeah. I haven't actually heard it yet. I had to go out when Lewis was streaming the live stream, but I caught the unboxing part of it, and I was like, man, this looks good.
So there it is.
Yeah, wow.
plain maple, purple heart fretboard, completely scalloped. Bell brass frets. The back is also flame maple brass cover. I don't know if that's coming across on the video. Brass nut, which is just crazy.
Beautiful.
Ratio
that thing's amazing.
These are the Arcane pickups, which sounded great on the Phil X guitar, so I went with the Arcanes again. So that's it, man.
You know,
how's that all brass? Is it super bright?
No, I wouldn't say it's super bright. Headstock lights up with the world on top. And what's nice, too, is, you know, it's funny. You take, like, PRS as an example, and they're real big in their electronics and do this and do that and split this. And this is just two pickups with a volume. So it's like whatever the pickup sounds, it's going right to the output, which I kind of like. You know, it's just simple. It's just, without all the fun.
Blade switch. That's totally badass.
Which one?
The angled blade switch. I love that.
Yes.
But you know what I'm saying? Instead of a three-way toggle, it's a blade switch. I can see it's at like a 45-degree angle off the...
Yeah.
You know, the side of the pickup.
It's so much easier than like the Tele setup where you're like, yeah. Exactly. Binky swing.
Right. Where you're accidentally hitting it.
So the neck is really, you know, those inlays are flamed maple block inlays. So the neck is all
the flames.
That's awesome.
So I don't know if you saw Lewis, but Harley Benton have just made a copy of it.
Yeah. It's called the HBTK, and it has nothing to do with you.
I would actually embrace it and buy a few for myself. You know? I don't know if everybody would be of the embrace it school of thought, but I would be, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So we've got 100 folks here watching already, so welcome everybody in the chat. Feel free to ask anyone here some questions. We did get a super chat through just before, but my browser is not happy. I just set off screen before my main computer's down, so I'm using a little laptop. Okay. But
it says, hey guys, good evening from Chicago. Just got an SG Classic last week. Thanks to Nick in the States and his video on it. What do you guys think of it?
This little guy. These things happen to have it at grab. P90 mahogany body. The thing growls, but it's nice. It's a bound neck and it's a Gibson inlaid headstock with usually it's a stop tail and a tunematic. So it's like just a growly fun, and you can get them for like $700 US, give or take. 650 to 800. They've notched up a little, but if you want to get that like classic SG mid 60s sound, it just does it. They're fun. And they've got like a healthy baseball bat neck, so they stay really in tune. Like if you leave it there, don't grab it for a few weeks, pick it back up. It's great. And then I threw a Bigsby on mine because I have problems.
No, that looks great.
That's a Gibson?
Yeah, it's a Gibson.
Nice.
Gibson SG Classic from, I forget when these are from, probably 15, 20 years ago at this point.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's nice.
Now, I could be wrong. You bought another Gibson recently, right?
What did I buy recently?
Did you get that?
I've got the blue one.
The blue one. Which is
a 2015. That's a repatriated. That's when Thomann in Germany was blowing out 2015s and 2016s for like short money. So that was, right, I think, $1,150 US to my door. And it's just fun. I still haven't ripped out the tuner, the Auto Magical tuner, and replaced the really soft brass nut with something that actually wears properly. But it's still a lot of fun.
Oh, beautiful stuff. So what do you got in your hands there, Michael Guitargate? I'm going to just call you Guitargate because with this two Michaels, it's going to get confusing.
Yeah, that's totally fine. So this
or Michael P, do you prefer that?
Yeah, Michael P's fine. by the way, I just wanted to say that I saw that Anthony from Texas Blues just said, hey, we miss you, brother. Wish you could jump on. We got to do one soon.
I didn't see him pop up. Awesome.
Yeah. He's on there. He's dropping some comments there. But anyway, yeah. So this is my main guitar. This is the 594. This is the faded whale blue, the 10 top, and I love this thing, man. This is one of these guitars that they got, and I just couldn't put down. So I play it constantly.
Beautiful. That was the go-to guitar at GitCon 2017. Everyone loved that 594. Remember that? Yeah.
Special.
Yeah, it was sick. It was a great guitar.
Yeah, man. So what I really like about it is, the coil splits or the coil taps. Like when you put them in the single coil mode, they're just beyond transparent. I obviously do a lot of country stuff, and you wouldn't think that, a PRS 594, what it was modeled after, would work well for that. But hot damn, it does, man. I love this thing. It's snappy.
They really match volume pretty well too. When you go single coil, it doesn't drop out as much as like I've got a McCarty, and it sounds amazing single coil, but it's definitely a lot lower deal. Where when I played the 594, it seemed to be a lot closer to output single versus humbucker.
It's super close. Yeah, I mean it's. I mean you can tell, but it's not like you can really really tell.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the one criticism I have of my SE, which is like the cheaper sort of guitar. I love it. I love playing it. It sounds great, but my only criticism is the split coil mode drops like 40%. Well, maybe not 40, but it feels like it, It's just, and you don't even almost need it on a PRS. They've got so much tops already. The humbuckers are great. I think that's the kind of shocking thing about them compared to other guitars I've got in my collection is just they've got their own vibe going on. It's pretty cool.
For nice sure, man.
So, all right, we might I'm sure everybody knows everybody here, but I thought what we'd do is just go through. We've got a couple of new faces on here. I know everyone knows Nick in the States and Steve and Tone King because they've been on these type of chats before. So we'll go to China Guitar Skeptic Mike and hey. Tell us a little bit about your channel, mate, and what you do and how you ended up on this live stream.
No idea.
And it's late where you are, so thanks for joining in, mate. I appreciate it.
Well, actually that's why I'm just at the bottom of the first, in fact I think it's the first French press.
That's a Steve from Boston special right there.
It is.
What time is it there, Mike?
It's 10 past midnight, and I decided this time as opposed to the hangout that I did with Steve, not to have a drink before, other than coffee. I don't remember much of that hangout other than the apology in the morning and then them saying, we didn't know you were drunk, man.
Drunken Mike. No, don't deprive us of Drunken Mike.
I thought that was a great hangout.
Dude, it really was. I watched a lot of it.
Yeah, I don't remember any of it.
I'll be right back. Well, Mike, I'm having a beer for you.
Oh, bless you, man. I may well join you in a minute once I finish this coffee. But yeah, I thought I'd at least start sober anyway tonight. yeah, the channel, I've been going 5 years. I started, most people know that I started because I was somewhat skeptical of the Chinese guitar fake trade. And I bought about five of those. The first one I bought to debunk it and suggest that I might just get a load of nonsense, a load of sawdust in the box. Having watched many, many videos from other people, certain people that may well be in the house tonight were somewhat of an influence, shall we say. And it just went from there. It just took off. I'm the least intentioned YouTuber out there. I didn't intend to do this, but I got really hooked. I love doing it. Just review everything and anything. I'm getting into the interviews after GitCon. Love the interview side of stuff. And fingers crossed, in a week's time, I think it's a week's time, Sunday the 2nd, is that a week or is that 2 weeks? I'm going to be interviewing, hopefully, the whole of Operation Mindcrime backstage with our good buddy that came to GitCon with us. I don't know if you recall.
His name is, I'm putting you on the spot.
Kieran Robertson?
Yes.
Oh, there we go.
Nice. Oh, gee whiz, man. I thought it was just obvious. Jeff Tate. I've asked if I can. I didn't want to just say Jeff Tate and not the whole band because, right. Hey, if I'm there, I want to say hi to all the guys because, okay, some people may think that Jeff's a star. And let's face it, with a voice like that, he's a star. But I want to see everything that goes on there. I want to say hello to everybody there and backstage. And it'd be great to see Kieran again because he was such a sweet guy at GitCon. And I see what you did there, Steve, trying to trip me up. I love that. You were very good at that all the way through that week as well. So here's to you, man. And it's lucky I didn't have a drink, isn't it?
I've been following Kieran's ink. He got this whole new – since GitCon, you know, which he was already quite colorful.
He had that big one on his chest, didn't he? All the way across his chest. Yeah, oh, man.
Huge new one done. I'm like, damn. It's a commitment.
I just heard from from Rick. He can't work out how to get on, so I'll send him another email.
You got to get stuck.
He's one of Rick, the smartest guys I know, and one of the least technical savvy guys I've ever seen in my life.
Can we all at least give him a wave, though, Shane? Can we all wave?
Hey, Rick, how are you watching? Rick.
Come on, Doctor.
I'll re-forward you the email, Rick. You're gonna get it right now. Just click the link that's in this one. And you should be good.
I love the fact that he's the only doctor here, the most highly educated one of all of us. He's the one that can't get on.
It's hilarious. All right. How about Michael P? Tell us a little bit about your channel and tell the folks what you do.
My name's Michael Palmisano. I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. My channel is called GuitarGate. And basically, my main thing is I run my online teaching website, which is guitargate.com. And I met all these guys at GitCon. I was fortunate enough to have PRS bring me to represent them there and playing a bunch of videos with a lot of the people here and, you know, a lot of people that you're seeing in all these videos. And it was just extremely fortunate. They sponsor my website. And basically, my shtick, my approach is I do a practical approach to learning guitar for people that gig actively in working bands. So unlike a lot of different channels that show you, say, note for note stuff or the opposite where you make it super, super easy so everybody could play, I try to break down, you know, how to analyze tunes, how to learn them, and how to figure out different parts, whether or not you're a three-piece band in a 15-person band if the recording was from a trio or a huge band. And so basically what makes the song what it is and what you can do as a guitar player to come up with stuff to, you know, really bring the song to life, playing to the strengths and away from the weaknesses of whatever your band is. So that's what I call it. It's like a practical approach to you know, for people that gig, and that's kind of my shtick.
Cool. Yeah, I remember as soon as I heard you play, I was like, man, I loved your approach. Like, I think I said that to you as well. It was so unpredictable in a good way. Like, you got a really unique way of playing. And actually, I shared what I like. You probably saw. I shared that how to improvise.
I did, and I really appreciate that, man. That's very kind of you.
You know, it came up in a suggested thing, obviously, because I can't play, and it was like, you know what?
That's not true.
I saw it. You got a really great way of explaining it, too. So if people check my feed or just go directly to your channel, you'll see, if you're wanting to improvise more, check out this video. It's really great. It's really great.
Well, I really appreciate it. No, and you're a hell of a player, man. It's a treat, you know, because I think we can, you never know what someone sounds like until you're in the room with them and you're on the stage with them. And we had a lot of fun, especially that video when we were doing all the amp settings. That was one of my favorite parts of GitCon. That was such a cool video.
Yeah, it was just something that came to mind. Like, can we all get our sound out of one amp? And that video sort of did pretty well too. It was interesting to also have, you know, all the different styles kind of work, except for you and Rick, who have pretty much the same sort of, we go for a very similar sound. But Lewis.
Rick could play too, man. That dude's fantastic. I really enjoyed playing with him.
Yeah, Rick can play all kinds of stuff. It's pretty cool. But you know what? The best tone I think I recorded at GitCon was with Steve's software.
Oh man,
that tone was awesome.
I win.
I'll take you guys it. Have a chance to. Hey, Michael Bradley.
I'm here. How you doing?
How are you? Just to confirm.
There he is, the man. The mics. Man himself.
How many mics can we get?
Hey,
all the mics.
The doc.
How are you, everyone, doing? So I'm a little bit late. I was in Essex, which is basically like New Jersey of America.
What did you say?
But it's like an hour and a bit away from me.
I live in Jersey, just saying.
There's Dr. Rick.
He's outside.
Oh, Dr. Rick.
Hey.
Can we hear him? Has he got sound?
He's got his sunglasses up. He's cool. Serious.
That's all he's doing.
He's a strong silent type.
I'm pretty sure he can't hear us yet. But anyway.
Oh.
Hey, Dr. Rick, wave if you could hear us.
I can hear you.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. How you doing, man?
Got you.
I think his internet sucks.
I think he's on his cell phone internet.
Talking to.
Oh, we can't really hear you, man. Let me crank you up a little bit here.
It's great to see you there, buddy.
Thanks for joining in, guys. Mike and Rick, appreciate that.
No, thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me. How's everyone doing? Worries.
Great to see everybody. It's like the Breakfast Club, the reunion, you know?
So did anyone else buy a guitar while you were overseas at all? Did anyone else other? I know. Oh, actually, Rick did.
That's right.
Did anyone else pick anything up from anywhere?
I didn't. There was a couple of Framuses I did like, but as everyone knows, I did fall in love with the blue PRS.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one. I'm talking of PRSs, and then Mike popped up on my screen there.
So, Mike Bradley, they didn't send that one to you yet? I got to talk to him.
No, I think it got lost in the mail, that one.
Oh, did it?
They sent it here, guys, just saying, you know.
Yeah. Well, Christmas is fast approaching, you know. I'll pull it out there. But I know Rick got a lovely Felix XG. Is that what it's called, I believe? I think, yeah, Lewis, you got one as well, haven't you?
I got the Felix last year. I'll tell you, for a simple guitar, it's a great guitar.
Mm.
At a glance, it looks simple, but when you pick it up, it's just, it looks good, it feels good, it's balanced, it sounds good, you know. It's a great guitar.
Yeah, I played the white one over there. I didn't play the one Rick had, but I played the white one a few times, and it's got a lovely, good bit of girth on the neck, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And it rings, it really rings out beautifully. Hey,
Rick,
you know,
so, Rick got the P90s. Hey, Rick, what P90s were in your guitar? Do you know who made those?
Guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So, apologies. I'm absolutely, I'm a special needs guy when it comes to computers, so I apologize for that. I got the Arcane.
Oh, the Arcane.
PX90s in mine.
I'll tell you, Arcane, you know, we all play guitar and collect guitars and we think we all know everything. And that, and when you find like a something that you've never heard of, it's exciting. And last year when I got the Phil X, I got the Arcane pickups and I was like, whoa, like these sound unlike any other pickup. Like you're actually able to hear the nuance of the pickup. That's why I got the Arcanes in this V. If you've never tried an Arcane, you should try it. You know, they're, you know, I feel like, you know, Duncans are great, but they sound like Duncans. Mm. DiMarzios are great, but they sound like a DiMarzio. They have their own thing going on, you know.
Yeah. Well, I got to play two guitars that entire week. Yeah. An Ibanez jazz guitar and an Ibanez shred guitar. So, yeah. So
I know it's at the top of your preparation list for next year.
Yeah.
Well,
there was a secret. There was a secret plan, Shane, to turn the strings upside down on a few for you, but we never got round to it.
I would have loved if I didn't even get to do anything else that week. I would have loved to have been part of that blues jam. You know, that would have been fun.
Yeah,
you couldn't pull a Jimi Hendrix and just reverse the strings.
Look, I might have been able to do that. There was just nothing really with the option to do that. I didn't really, you know, there was no mention of it, or I didn't really have another guitar I could just grab. So yeah, there's something about weird about doing that too sometimes. Especially, I don't know if you've ever flipped a lefty to play righty, but every time you strum you tend to turn the guitar volume down. Your arm always hits the controls, and the intonation's probably going to be pretty funky, or even the, like, how the strings sit on the nut might be kind of
the biggest problem's the nut, isn't it? Yeah. Biggest problem is the nut, it's just not cut right. Yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
But
that's why Shane brought me along, because I'm a specialist in adjusting nuts.
Yeah, there he is. He's back. All test that.
So we're talking a little bit before about Mike, guitar skeptic, China guitar skeptic. Mike was mentioning that he was skeptical of some of the dodgy or the cheap guitars from overseas. Has anyone else purchased something that was just brutally awful and you had it shipped to the house or to work and you bought it and you just went, this is the worst thing I've ever purchased in my life?
And it was called the Gibson M2, which was just a monumental piece of crap.
Yeah.
Made in America, and you couldn't even lower the action all the way because the bridge hit it was just the tuners were, everything about that guitar was absolute dog crap.
You bought one of those Walmart Maestro guitars, right?
Yeah.
How does that compare to that Gibson that you ended up with?
Right on par.
Wow.
Like, right on par. And I'll tell you what, the Gibson I didn't want to do anything to. The Maestro, I switched out everything, put gold hardware on it, put a fake diamond on it. And I had a blast with that stupid guitar. And I think I'm totally into the guitar for $160. And it's more funny than it is I play it a lot, but it's and it did a quarter of, you know, 250,000 views between all the videos. So we'll take it. So yeah, the M2 was great. The M2 was an awesome, I think I had one of the first videos for that up. And that was a great money maker from a guitar. It was just a horrible guitar. but then you get something like, you see Grote guitars, which is your eBay of current, one of the knockoff sort of a Gibson, but they put their own headstock and name on it. Hmm. This one actually was playable, keepable. I think if you really cared about guitars, you'd switch everything in it.
Yeah, well.
But if you want it as your living room beater, I throw new tuners on it and it's perfectly fine in the living room. It sounds like a Les Paul. It plays like a Les Paul. The Bigsby works pretty well. I do a little sanding on it so it didn't try to kill me. But it's good. If you want it to be great, it's $500 worth of crap you're going to put into it and there's no point, you know?
Yeah. Now, that's one of the biggest traps of some of these cheap guitars. I just want to give a quick shout out to a couple of guys here. We've got Ben Coombs. We've got Showman Blues. Jamal. We've got Landon in the chat as well. Todd Flowers, Terry, welcome, mate. BB Ninja, Quentin, man, there's 166 people watching.
A lucky turnout.
A lot of familiar names. Hello, everybody. Give you one of those families right there.
Hey, guys, I've been waving to everyone that said hello. So, hello to everyone that said hello.
And I've put everybody's channel links in the description of the live chat here so people can
cheers, man.
subscriber.
Yeah, thank you, John.
And Nick, you're getting a lot of comments on your shirt. Where'd you get that thing, man?
I made so I was supposed to go to the thing that Tom put on earlier this year, and I made up a bunch of fun shirts, and this one was like a Benton Harley Benton shirt that I made up, and then my daughter got diagnosed with an illness, and I had to cancel not go, so I have a bunch of goofy shirts.
Sorry, brother.
Oh no, she's doing great, so we'll take it. Oh. Like it's a journey. But I made up a bunch of fun shirts. So this one gets a lot of compliments. I don't think Teespring will let me upload it, though, to sell for the Connery and whatever. But everyone's like, oh, where can I get that? I'm like, I just had a bunch made up.
Who's the guy in the picture?
It's Sean Connery, or early Bond Connery.
Bond, James Bond.
Why don't you just do like a get the hairdo sorted out and just do your own?
Do my hair. Put me his exact thing there.
Yeah. There you go.
Actually, you do look a bit like him.
Yeah, I look. I'm very rapidly looking like older Connery as the hair just.
Well, I was thinking more. I was thinking more as he looks now, really. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Actually, we know who Nick looks like. I just can't think of the guy's name.
I get everybody, but I had Tom Green, especially in OT time.
Yeah. Tom Green, yes.
Sure. Has anybody else experienced that? If you have a channel, I've probably had there's like seven or eight actors or famous people who be like, you look like this guy. You look like the guy from Reservoir Dogs. You look like it's like you just get that every few months. Somebody's like,
oh man, yeah, I get with everything. And but I can't, the one I get a lot is the guy for using Coyote Ugly and then an Adrian Brody as well. I've had him a few times. I mean, I prefer if people say Johnny Depp, I prefer that one.
Hey, they're all better than Tom Green. So,
young Johnny Depp, you mean? I don't know if he's looking too fresh.
Johnny Depp now,
this.
You know. Yeah.
What's Johnny Depp doing now?
You name any white bald guy, and that's who I get. That's pretty much sums that up. I've seen them all. That English guy from the what's his name? It's just yeah. Anyway, I'm terrible with actors' names, but
Yeah, well, obviously, I get David Beckham all the time, you know. No, I always get Ricky Bloody Gervais.
Oh, Ricky Gervais. All right, there you go.
Yeah. I love that.
Oh, James Corden, too. You're a little James Corden in there.
James Corden, yeah. Remind me when I come over to punch you in the face.
I'll punch you right back for sending him over here.
Yeah, touche, man. Love it. No, I do get that as well. Yeah, especially since I grew the beard.
Krellbar, just let Krellbar know that his guitar is still safe. He's loaning me a guitar, and yeah, I haven't destroyed it yet. We're still good, Krellbar. He helped me out in a video I did a few weeks back.
Oh, cool.
He appeared as a psycho, angry clown.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the Halloween one you did.
Yeah.
It must be an evil clown. I mean, unless it's just another run-of-the-mill video you've done. That was good, man. I enjoyed that. That was good.
In a way, aren't all clowns evil?
Well, after seeing it, yeah. But that was a good video, Steve. I enjoyed that. That was funny.
Yeah, that was my first foray.
That was amazing.
The directing.
Steve,
that's your first one, my friends.
Krellbar was instrumental in it because I needed somebody who would fit the bill, and he fit it perfectly. And he did a great job, you know, following direction. So, I like the dude who walked around with the cup. He had a Dunks cup. It was almost, and later on, he just did it because he was literally drinking a coffee during the entire shoot. But later on, it sort of like became like this funny prop. Like one dude, the whole thing just has a cup of Dunkin' Donuts with him the whole time. So, I'll have to work him in maybe next year into something. I'm trying to think of something to do for the NAMM show. Who here is going? Anybody else going to NAMM besides me?
I'll be there.
All right,
I'll be there with Mike. My first NAMM. I'm very excited.
There's my two victims right there.
Did you guys already make your travel arrangements? Where are you guys staying?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm staying at the Peacock this year for the first time.
Oh, where am I staying? I will tell you exactly. My mate booked it. Where is it we're staying?
No murders in over 3 years. So I got
going well.
Like those odds.
I'll take it.
It's like over 1,000 days since our last murder. I'm like, yes.
Amazing.
Is there anything you're looking forward to seeing there this year that you,
you know what?
You're aware of?
I'm looking forward to seeing Mike Bradley and showing him around. At this point, you're so old and jaded from the NAMM show. The best thing you have is showing someone who's never been there before around.
It's true.
Going, what's this? What's this?
I'm very excited. I'm very excited. So we finally, like I say, flights booked, accommodation. I just need to find where it is. It's somewhere on my email. I'll tell you what it is. But yeah, I think I'll bring some earplugs as well, maybe. I think as well.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it's going to be comfortable shoes. Get ready to stand in a lot of lines.
Oh, really? Oh, for
well, no, I can help you with that. The if you want to, like, if you're going there to like hang out and get autographs of like with like famous people, then yeah, you're going to be standing in a lot of lines.
Oh, I'll probably remember.
But I find you run into a lot of those people at the airport, so it's like you don't really have to, and sometimes they have to go to the bathroom and you run into. I mean, you don't have to stand in those lines, I find. Sometimes you just run into people. Yeah. But
the line for Steve's autograph will be pretty long, so just get that out of the way before you get in, all right?
A lot of those lines get so long so fast they close almost instantly. Right, it's like because they have enough people. The guy's only there for an hour. Well, they have like over an hour's worth of people. They know how many people it takes, like roughly per minute, are going to go through. How many people? You know how long it takes. And so once they get up to like 100 people, whatever, they're like, that's it. This line's closed. That's like seconds after this whole event. They won't even get you let you in line too early. It's all crazy. Don't go for that. Don't go for that. You want to go to just like meet up with other YouTubers and get some good food and check out a bunch of cool gear and wonder, how are any of these people making money?
That is that is the truth.
Some I like half the people in there, you're like, how is this company going? But apparently they are. You're going to see some weird stuff. You know, all your regular favorites. But some companies, you look at the guitars and you're like, really?
Yeah, well, they've got no chance of selling one, basically. They just all.
Yeah. I mean, the idea sometimes conceptually, there was a guy who had like a ribbon guitar that used a flat piece of steel ribbon.
Okay.
In certain situations, it actually did sound pretty cool, but the novelty wore off in about 3 seconds. You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't because it was only a single ribbon. It was almost like one of those shovel guitars, right? Because it only could do so much. The range was so limited. It only had a single string, so to speak. I was like, I don't know what they're ever going to be able to do with it, just because the range was so limiting, and it was kind of expensive.
Yeah,
well, and I'm like, who the hell is buying this? You know, you see a lot of that. You'll definitely see a few of that in NAMM.
Is it all new stuff, or are they like, you know, like used guitar vendors and stuff there?
No, it's all new.
It's all new stuff. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's actually the one thing I like most about NAMM. If you go to a guitar show, my experience with some local guitar shows, it's all the crap that they haven't been able to sell on a shelf, right? So it just becomes this garage sale style thing, which is, I don't know.
The land of toys.
Yeah. And NAMM, you get to see everything that's new, which is kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I won't be going this year.
What?
Oh, yeah, I heard. Yeah.
What? Yeah. Whoa.
I was about to say, you're like the veteran. You're the NAMM guys.
No. Dude. Whoa. Oh, whoa. Hold on.
Breathe. Take a breath. Sounds like I should talk to Steve after this, so maybe he can figure it out.
Oh, my God. How am I finding out about this now?
I feel like we've got it's not you, it's me coming up in a second.
Yeah. Oh, I feel bad. It's my first NAMM, and all of a sudden Lewis isn't going. What's going on here?
Yeah.
But you're a staple. I mean, it'd be like if Fender didn't show up.
No, I had a work commitment that actually came up that I just can't get out of, unfortunately.
Right.
And like I was doing the math, like even if I left Friday, it's, you know, you're 2 days into it already. It almost doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm glad I booked an extra day. Jesus.
Yeah. You know what?
You know what you need to do, Lewis, is leave that high-paying job of yours and just become a full-time YouTuber. It'd be awesome. Yeah. Great business decision. Off of
27 cents a day. Sound. You're good to go.
I haven't figured out how to make that transition yet, unfortunately. But
usually we'll start with a divorce and then it will go from there.
Transition is usually involuntary. If when one job goes away, then you're a permanent YouTuber and Uber driver for a bit, and then you'd hopefully find your other gig again.
Exactly.
So, guys, if anyone has any questions for anybody, I'm watching the chat here. I'm trying my best to keep an eye on it. So feel free to ask anyone question. You can add and then put the name there if you want to get somebody's attention. So feel free to.
This is stunning news. I
have a couple of questions
right now. I'm a little bit of a shock right now. This is I've been there. I went there in 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018.
Oh my.
Every year the Tone King was there and we've hooked up, we've met up. Now 2019, no Tone King.
Yeah,
maybe some background music.
Maybe
some rain.
He needs counseling.
Quick, somebody get him counseling.
I need the music that was playing down in the lobby when we were drinking some of those beers that night. Someone was telling a story, and I was talking about how the music was framing it just right.
I've
been asked twice about the Axe FX. It's great. Really loving it. I can't really say too much more because I haven't had a lot of time to play it yet, but I'm loving it so far. Thank you.
Get the three? Is that what you got?
Yeah. It's good. Nice. I'm not sure it's as nice as your Tone when I played it at GitCon. I really did enjoy doing that Steve from Boston opening, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, that's right. We did. We did a little jam, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that software's pretty special, man. You got to dial it in.
TH3, isn't it? TH3?
Yeah.
It's not cheap, though. I looked it up far out. I was like, whoa, all right. I wasn't expecting that. It was several, like maybe $300 or something.
Yeah, but that's the list price. Don't ever pay that. They recently had it on sale for $139 US.
Oh, that's not so bad. Yeah, cool.
That's really cheap.
What's that, $450?
That comes back on Black Friday. Right, because they dumped the sale maybe 6 weeks ago. Actually, I think it was on sale the week of GitCon. I think that whole week of GitCon, it was on sale. And I'll bet they'll do it again, like probably for, you know, Black Friday.
Promo code.
Steve with discount Boston. Code, yeah, 10 SFB. Yeah.
Hey, Maddie K, thank you for
They don't even acknowledge my existence, and yet I've probably sold, just conservative estimate, 100 billion copies of that software.
Week?
No. So, Steve, why aren't you working with them? I mean, you promoted them for years.
I know, right? Come at me over loud. Maybe there's a language barrier. They're an Italian company.
Why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? I think that's the thing. Everyone knows Steve Stone.
Damn.
Maddie, sorry.
The announcement that you're no longer using them. The phone's probably going to ring. What happened?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I've used like Guitar Rig in the past. And Guitar Rig is actually, you know, at one time was, I think, you know, a contender. Mm-hmm. But they haven't updated their product since 2010 or like 2011. Yeah. Like, you know, we're like 7 years out from an update. It's like enough. IK Multimedia, they've updated and they've done much better. I just got, I don't even know if you can see it, but it's like up over. You probably can't see it. It's up over here. They actually just sent me the foot controller. Like a piece of hardware, but in the hardware, you get a copy of all their software, like full versions. It's actually about $900 worth of software. So the $300 foot pedal is actually pretty cheap when you think about all the software you get with it, because you get like a full version for like the Mac, the Windows, an iPad, an iPhone, pretty much anything that will run it. You get a full blown copy of the software, which is pretty sweet. So I'll try that out because I don't have the latest version of IK Multimedia. Mine's like probably two versions ago. I think they're up to 4.5 and I have like 3.2 or something like that. So I'll try it. We'll see what's up. But I'm always going back to TH3. And I think people who plugged into it, Mike Bradley was saying when we were there, we had some good tones going. I thought a couple little jams.
Yeah, I wasn't being sarcastic either before. Like, it was one of the best tones of the week. I know we lost the other camera angle. It was out of focus or off.
I actually think at that point I might have switched my camera off.
yeah, thanks, mate.
You know what? And we had jammed a little bit during it. We had talked, and then I was like, "All right, we're done." And then we were just sort of fooling around. And I said, "You know what? Let me just record this audio because it's sounding so good." And then you left your camera running.
Yeah, and I was going to. Steve, you did it to everybody. You did it to everybody. You did it to me. You did it to Mike. You did it to everybody, man. You turned the cameras off on us. Second anyone played anything good. Yeah, cameras off. Oh, sorry.
Hey, guys, I just give a quick shout out to Matty K here, who used the super chat as well. He just says, so, fellas, how about that Meteora? I don't know what that is, by the way, but I'm kind of jonesing for a humbucker or P90 version. If anyone knows what a Meteora is,
it's a new offset by Fender. It's a
new
Fender. It looks like a Strat that's been rolled out by a rolling pin. It's got big black inlays on it. Let me paint you a portrait here. it's like an offset that I don't know. I mean, I it's kind of cool, but I don't think I have the right cut for that guitar.
Yeah,
it's not. You know what? I've actually seen the video, and I didn't realize that's what it was. Okay, so
is that video of Jim Root playing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's all right. It's okay, but I'm such a traditionalist. You know, I like my Strats, my Les Pauls, the SGs. You know,
right.
But then again, Jaguars, I suppose, are slightly off cut, aren't they? So
there we go. That's that one.
You know. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Oh, look, that's technology at its finest there, Shane.
Yeah, yeah. It's nothing but the best on these live streams. Man. Tell you what. So, it is.
Actually, looking at that picture,
I don't mind it. The block inlays look a bit odd to me.
Yeah, then.
It's a little too.
Ray Gibson.
It's like a smorgasbord of a Telecaster and a Mustang.
That's a Rick sort of guitar, man. What do you reckon, Rick? You like these sort of simple guitars?
Well, look, it looks like an ugly stepdaughter, so no, I'd like to chuck that on the guitar.
All right, that's there it is.
Oh, Rick, I do miss you, you stud.
I miss you too, I'm spewing that I can't get to NAMM, although Steve Lukather was once quoted as saying he'd rather have a prostate examination than go to NAMM. So I don't know what that means. Maybe Lewis does.
I know about a prostate exam, what?
But that might be the real reason why he's not going.
It could be. That's what that cue's for, I reckon.
Hey, guys, I'll be right back. I just had my 2-year-old walk in the studio for no reason.
Cool, man. No worries.
Kids, sorry.
Bless.
Let me look at these questions. I saw.
Yeah, I hear mixed things about NAMM. I've heard, you know, some people love it, and some people go, it's way too crowded. There's lines to even get to the restrooms and all this kind of stuff.
Are you going, Shane?
No way. It'd be a 3,500 round trip or something, probably for us. So,
I am thinking about going to Summer NAMM though. I skipped it last year. And I actually enjoyed Summer NAMM, but I couldn't do Summer NAMM, Winter NAMM, GitCon. Then there was the Toman thing, which I could, I had to pick and choose. But since I'm not going to Winter NAMM, I might go to Summer NAMM.
Yeah, well, that's in July, right? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I might be in the States in July, actually. Well, I'm going to see how we go because I turned 40 in June and I'd ideally to do something fun. So. We'll see.
Do it. Plus, July is the good time to come, especially for you. It's perfect.
Yeah, anytime I can get out of winter here, it is awesome. Matty K just used the super chat again. You're all a bunch of curmudgeons.
Curmudgeons. That's what I was laughing at. Funny. We've also got Hunter from Agu Fish in as well. Hi, Hunter.
Oh, cool.
Hunter.
I should say thank you to Mark the Images. And yes, I'll be sorting out my recording money. Don't worry. I uploaded a video on Friday about the pros and cons of the music business. And
all the pros and cons in the music business.
Three pros and 4 million cons of the
pretty well, there we go. I should have just done a video like that, yeah. But no. So I just want to say thanks to Mark for the kind words. And Fender Guru as well.
The only one here that is doing music full time. I mean, in a way, like what I do is I'm doing YouTube more full time than I'm playing music full time. But yeah, how do you? I don't know what the question is, but I haven't seen that video. So maybe the video will answer a lot of the questions I have. But
yeah, the video that was more about because when I released like my first solo, I don't know why I'm doing inverted brackets, but when I released my first. Solo EP, you know, I did it through a company because I was a little bit scared of going on my own and all that kind of stuff. And they were just really shitty sharks, basically, you know. And I just noticed that they had pulled my EP off iTunes and Spotify and things like that. So I had to kind of re-upload it myself, which is, I was trying to take a positive from that regarding... now I'm in control of it, so to speak. You know, I don't have to rely on, because I won't get any money from it or anything like that. You know, a very small amount of money. But so that's what the kind of video is about. And also just sometimes thinking, just go for it. Because, you know, I think anything artistic or anything in life, really, you know, you can be a little bit, oh, am I ready to do this? Or am I good enough to do this kind of thing? And that's how I felt about 3 years ago when I wanted to do my own thing, you know. It's my latest. I say, check out the video. You know, it's an interesting one. But no, regarding making a living, especially kind of like I say, obviously YouTube's a big thing. But also, I do live stuff and teaching and sessions and things. You know, it's just and I probably said this to you all guys at GitCon. You know, just having as many different streams of avenue of income coming in, and it can be daunting, but at the same time I kind of like being in control. You know, like if I need to earn money, I need to work harder. That's basically the way I look at it, you know.
Yeah, because it doesn't come out of thin air, huh? I mean, I know exactly what that's
exactly
like. Yeah, as well. I mean, even though I'm mostly producing videos, I'm also, you know, I do a few other things on the side too. Yeah. And I know that it's up to me to make it happen or it won't happen. And it's a different mindset completely. And it's a motivating one too. Like,
which is it. And I like it. It's quite exciting, really. You know, it's like, I just literally 2 days ago, as a lot of you guys know, I'm now a homeowner. So
congratulations.
Congrats.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We've got the keys and everything. you know, now I'm a real adult. So I've got a mortgage to pay and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. So that's when you're like, okay. But now I'm like, I really want to work hard now, you know. So, yeah, it's exciting. But you're
a musician, mate. I'm a little confused. How did you become like a hardworking musician? It's confusing. I don't know these two.
Terms. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I mean, I've always like, you know, it's just thinking yourself as a business. I remember just thinking of that. I am my business, so to speak. You know, and I remember when I was a kid, I used to always like, I would start little not companies, but jobs that I would rent out videos to like the neighbors and stuff. Always like earning my own money.
Yeah, you know.
Anything I could do to earn money myself, I would do. And so I suppose that's kind of still in my head a little bit, you know, and then I just kind of take it into the music world, you know. But
it's funny you mentioned that, actually. We're very similar because back when I was a kid, I just learned how to use the lawnmower, and I used to mow all the lawns in my street. And then I used to go to a lot of what overseas called flea markets, like we call them trash and treasure things here. I used to just sell stuff, and then, you know, I'd always be like trying to make a few bucks. And I think that sort of carried through to later life. You know, I worked in IT, but I was like, I sort of don't want to have that commitment of bye-bye time, you know, when I I could be doing something I enjoy a little bit more. So,
sure.
Is that why you keep buying PB Bandit amplifiers?
That's exactly right.
Takes it to the flea markets and sell them off. Yeah.
Look at all these PVs, man. I've not heard from Hartley. No.
I just sold one today. There was a 10-year-old kid in the store around the corner, and they had a red stripe Bandit in. And I was like, because I was debating on just buying it to give to the next friend that's like, I need an amp just so that it was, yeah. So I don't have to give him mine. And I'm like, plug into this. He's like, I'm like, just plug into this and play it. And he's like, oh, this thing's great. I'm like, it's only $180. And his mom's like, yeah, that's great. Should we just buy it? She's like, all right, I took it out. Yeah, nice. Another I Bandit
so
in the wild.
Messages about those Bandits. They're like someone even a couple of days ago said, "Oh, are you selling any of your PVs yet? I'd really like to buy one." I'm like, "No, not yet." But I got to tell you, the PV Bandit kills the Studio Pro, the smaller version. You know, but for a you know $100-$200 depending on where you live as a used amp, you can't beat it. Like just as a you know a home, you take home to the amp, gym yeah. Or no, they're loud, man. They're giggable amps, like. I got onto these playing in San Francisco with a couple of my friends over there, and he just that whole back line was PV Bandits, and I was thinking PV Bandits, like plug in, and it was great. So yeah. They're loud, and Rick used to play one back in the day.
Spring reverb, real yeah. Deal. It's just pretty sounding,
and the speakers in those PV Bandits, those Scorpion speakers, are like EVM 12Ls. They're like the real friggin' deal.
Yeah,
you know,
I have to say, like right now, I think the hottest amp brand out there, like every gigging musician I know practically is using, is Quilter. They're all using Quilter Labs. Like I had a
10 pounds. That's
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're super light and they're super clean, and they just bring that little lightweight clean amp, and they plug a pedal board in front of it, and like that is it. That's what Gear Man Dude uses. That's what like half the dudes at my reunion use. They're all gigging musicians, you know, that pretty much gig it every
Is
weekend.
It bad that I've never heard of Quilter amps?
Yeah. I didn't really hear of them either until maybe this past. You know what? I saw a buddy of mine play a few years back at an outdoor gig. And another friend of mine who used to work at the music store with me, we went out there and. I was actually going down there and helping them mix. I'm like, yup, this is too loud. This is too soft. Turn this up, turn this down. And so they finally got into a groove. And man, that his amp, I had no idea what it was, but it sounded so killer. I'm like, dude, is it me or is it like Pete's amp sound like amazing? And afterwards we were like, what the hell is that? He's like, it's a Quilter Labs. He goes, oh, I'm all Quilter Labs these days. Cut to 2 years later, and I had the reunion. And another guy, this guy Joe, who's like, he's in like literally named by Boston Magazine the best GB band in Boston. They're probably $9,500 a gig to hire this band, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big price point.
Yeah. Yeah. I hired them for my wedding in 2002 and they were $4,500. So they had to pay in the year 2000. So,
yeah. How many pieces in that band?
I think six.
Buddy.
Yeah, you know,
it's not. Nice it's not the Swingin' Johnsons, is it? Or the Johnson Brothers?
No.
Those guys, great name for a band, by the way. The Swingin' Johnsons—they're a lot of fun.
And he was using Quilter Labs. He's like, I'm all Quilter Labs now. He uses a Sur, and he's got his like pedal board like down. But he goes, I'm all Quilter Labs now. He goes, it's like the best thing. So many people I know are using Quilter Labs. I don't know much about them other than it just seems to be it. And then when I went to GitCon, I ran into Gearman Dude. He's like, I'm all Quilter Labs. I'm like, really?
He was Dr. Z for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Love my Dr. Z, man. Around here, the Kempers are a big thing, man. We have a lot of venues that have a lot of bad power around here. And so there's a lot of people that just went the Kemper route and just, you know, trying to stick to solid state so that it always sounds good and it always works and there's never any headaches. There's a bunch of dudes that have switched over and started doing that around here.
Mm. Yeah. I had a buddy of mine who does a lot of – right now he's out in Chicago. He's doing like a hair metal band that's booked like to the nth degree. But he was doing weddings and everything, and he would show up with his camper. He goes, the sound guys would be, oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's true. You can almost see the relief wash over them.
Yeah.
they sound great.
They love it.
I'm tracking an album with one at the moment, and it's so easy. Like, it's right. Just so easy. Once you get your profile done, it's...
So Shane, are you doing videos? I know you were doing videos on the Kemper, but do you actually own it and use it, or was it like a loaner unit?
No, I've actually got it now. So this particular one's mine.
Nice.
I use it only. I don't use it for pedal demos or anything like that. I only use it when I'm doing a guitar video because it's just the easiest way to record to get the sound of my gear with the mic and the speaker and all that kind of stuff. So. I love it for Reem. Rick played through it the other night, I think for the first time, actually, when we shot some videos of his guitars here. And
so here's a question for all you guys. Did anyone play the Ruby Riot at GitCon, the famous Ruby Riot?
Is that the IC30 C12 combo?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did all our Harley Benton videos on that, and there's a few. I thought it was okay. It just weighs a metric ton, so it's kind of at least enticing for us to gig with.
Yeah,
it sounded pretty good. Rick's right though. I think that room downstairs had a bit of a weird buzz too, which was, I don't know if anyone else noticed that at all, but
that room downstairs. Not the little room, but the where the couch was.
Oh yeah,
just the echo.
I loved that room. When we did that one video, man, I thought the guitar sounded great in there.
Yeah.
They did. They sounded great, but there was aircon that came on every now and then. It hissed like crazy.
Yeah, and like the mist.
Yeah, the mist. That was that was a mist to make you buy guitar.
So
I think it might have cost
me. We had a question from
over there breathing it in.
What's the question? We had a question from Andrew asking our thoughts on the best practice amp for just playing at home. I'll leave it open to anyone who feels like they want.
So one amp I've got, which I'm looking at right under the table, is a Vox AC4. So you can take it from a quarter watt to 1 watt to 4 watt. I love that amp. It's a valve amp. And for home use is great, and I think it was about £200 or something like that. I mean, I always try and haggle when I buy anything from a guitar shop, so I think I got it for $175 or something like that. Cool. I don't know what that is in dollars, but I think great.
You can get them in the States for $150 to $200. They made a bunch of different speaker combinations, 10-inch, 8-inch, whatever. But they're a fun little amp.
Oh man, it's great.
I have a question for you guys, you know, that went to GitCon. I've seen a lot of comments on my videos and other people's videos about when we were all using the Hughes and Kettner Grandmeister stuff, about people complaining about the tone and the sound. And I don't remember it, you know, being like that in the room. I remember really liking those, but I'm seeing a lot of stuff online the videos. Yeah, from people just saying that the They don't like the sound of them, but I remember being in the room and I thought the vibe was in there. I thought they sounded good. What,
Rick and I shot some videos here at home the other day at my place, and we both commented on like how much better the audio was overall. Like, I think there was possibly some gremlins in the mix because the amps, even when we did that four guys one amp video, whatever it was. It still didn't quite capture what we were hearing.
That's what I mean. When we were in the room, I was like, this thing is really screaming.
Yeah,
when I played with a bunch of different people, but when you listen back, I guess from the audio they give us, you know, for everybody watching, they just kind of gave us an SD card with everything already mixed, you know, the videos already cut. We didn't have control over our own levels or any of the edits or anything like that.
Right.
But I thought they sounded great in the room, and I see all the reviews. People rave about them, you know, with the red box, the direct out. And I mention this because you're talking about a bedroom amp. I mean, how easy is that to use, you know, with the red box?
Yeah. In fact, the video I shot with Joss Allen, I did a video on the Hughes and Kettner, you know, Black Spirit 200, and we just literally plugged a 5-foot XLR out of that red box out directly into that Focusrite input and recorded it completely dry, just straight out of the straight out of the red box. So if you heard a delay or anything, it was all coming out of the amp. I thought it sounded amazing. I thought it was so killer. And he went through and found a couple of different, I don't know what they're using for cabs in there. I got to think it's some sort of IR, but because it sounded really, really good.
Yeah,
I don't think they use IR for the red box. I think it's all circuitry, right?
I tell you, if it's straight up circuitry, if it's not a little digital IR, then it's pretty amazing. Like you could take an IR, just like Moore has an IR, right? You can.
Yeah, I don't think it's electronic. I think it's. Yeah. I don't think it's digital.
Filtering, it's damn good.
Yeah,
damn good.
Well, the red box was the original before IRs existed. It was a red box.
Right.
And then you had the boutique red box, the JDX by Radial, which pros would use. And I think that was just circuitry to, emulate what does an SM57 sound like through a 4x12 cabinet. That's all that was doing, you know.
Yeah, slightly offset. Right.
Don't forget the wonder that was the cab clone.
Oh, right. we all wondered about it. That's so,
cool. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Mesa. But on the board, it sounds fine in a mix. It sounds fine in a mix. It's fine in a mix. That's all you ever heard. Also, the videos that came out afterwards.
Yeah, some of that audio just needed mixing. I spent a lot of time on the ones I've done so far, but on the audio mix that they gave us. And I don't think I think they meant us to go away and level that up and compress it afterwards.
I don't post-production any of my videos, and they all sound better than the audio we got from that room. Even the voice mics were awful. They were like kind of canceling each other out. I found like if there were two people talking, I had to keep muting the other track. There was just this weird sort of, and it was, I don't know.
Like a phasing
really
type
thing. It was weird. I'm really fussy with audio. Like I'm just one of my things. And when you got a lav mic and you turn and it's in the wrong spot and you turn your head, it gets really boomy. And we kept wanting to put them on our like around here, which I reckon is the best spot. Cause if you turn your head, it doesn't really matter. But they were like, you know, like you could just, it would
sort of sound like a bit like this, and then it would kind of go off and just editing.
It's really true, tough. But like those amps, I think for a bedroom amp or people that do, you know, want to record direct, I think they're a great option. I mean, I might buy one, but I wanted to bring that up because, you know, I think that with some of the GitCon videos, that wasn't really reflected how good they sounded in the room. No, you know?
I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. And they left so much headroom. I was going to say, they left so much headroom on those tracks. I can't believe they didn't expect us to mix them afterwards.
I've been balancing them off.
You've got to. They were really, really low. But I mean, they were about sort of minus 25.
Yeah, I skipped all that. I pretty much.
Yeah, you had the right idea. Man. That was really good.
Came from the corner and said, "Come to me."
People did.
I got it. You know who I give the most credit to GitCon this year? David Wallerman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know why? He packed light. You know, everyone brought their cameras and their rigs and their computers and microphones. He like packed a duffel bag. He booked the rooms early before anyone. So he had like 5 slots a day, every day. He used their guitars, their amps, their recording, their mics, and he nailed it, man.
And then got me to transfer his files down for him as well. So I didn't even bring a computer. Just a hard drive.
He didn't bring a computer with him.
No, he gave it to me to transfer his files. No, I'm serious, honestly. And I love doing it. He's a lovely guy, so it wasn't a problem. But yeah, he really packed light. I thought I packed light because I had only carry on, including clothes, for the week.
Well, now question. So he went. This is the second year. Did he pack light the first year, or did he learn?
I don't know what he packed the first year.
Yeah, I think he went light both years.
All I know is I was envious, man. I had my rig, my cameras, all the stuff, and he's like, they have all that here. I'm like, man, you're smart.
I wish I would have gotten that memo.
I know. Well, one of the feedbacks I gave GitCon, and I think probably everyone agrees, is everyone that goes should have an equal allotment of room time. And then if you want to forfeit it, then let someone else take your time. But what you know, like Steve, I think you and I both, we were like, oh, we'll schedule it when we get there like we did last year. And there were no spots left.
Right. By Tuesday, the rooms were completely booked.
Hmm. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, if they could do that where everyone gets an equal allotment of time, I'll tell you what, I might bring less next time too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I just want to give a quick shout out to Matty K. He's the super chat as well. He just said, so gents, speaking of amps, any love for the Princeton Reverb Blackface Fender amps. He loves his 65 reissue. Anyone big fan?
Yeah, I had one of those, same as you recall.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic amp. Really, really good. And I had the one with the Jensen speaker in it for a little extra upgrade, and it was great. And I can't for the life of me remember why I sold it, but it was a great amp. Entirely giggable. You just mic it up and away you go. It was brilliant. So,
what's your main amp now, Rick?
I'm sorry, say again.
What's your main amp now?
I've got an amp called a Milkman Creamer.
Oh, yeah.
It's made in San Francisco, one at a time. And I just used it yesterday in a gig, and it just is, I guess it's what a Fender wishes it was back in the day. It's point to point. And 6V6 power tubes, but you can put 6L6s in it, rebiases itself, and it's a beautiful amp. But I've got four beautiful valve amps that I absolutely love, and that's probably three too many. But
one's turned into a coffee table.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, that one vid you posted, I guess was a week or so ago or two, I commented on where you were playing, I think it was the Tele through that Z-Rec. Man, that sounded good.
Oh, I tell you what, there were ears bleeding everywhere throughout the room, but it sounded great. That's
I have a Z-Rec, and you know, I gigged for, you know, in a corporate band, in a wedding band for about 3 years with just a Z-Rec, a reverb pedal, a wah-wah, and a tuner. That's it.
Yeah.
I loved that rig. I loved it. You know, I had one sound, but god damn, it was a killer sound.
Man, that would have been a rocking wedding. Man, I would have loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because what's your main gigging amp, Mike?
A lot of times it's the Hampstead I use now. The Hampstead Artist 20RT. I adore that amp. I've got a 2x12 cab with it as well. And then if I'm doing a small gig, I usually take, if I just want to travel light, I just take my little Fender Supersonic.
Which 22-watt.
22-watt, yeah, which is game, you know, you get to turn that bad. We get to about 5, 4 or 5. And I think that's a good, you know, it's loud, you know, not everyone likes me when I'm like that, but I don't care. And, but yeah, the Hampstead to me is my favorite amp. I just love it to bits, you know.
Now, do you run it? Do you guys have pretty extensive pedal platforms, or do you run it pretty straight up?
I certainly get gain from pedals and stuff, but I certainly like a bit of them from it. And then if I really want to clean it up, control it on the volume control.
Yeah.
But for years, I used a Cornford MK50. And I literally didn't use any overdrive pedal with that because it's like a proper, you know, chocolate brown overdrive tone at Cornford.
Chocolate.
And chocolate brown. Yeah, boy. And I would just clean it. It was so, like, touch sensitive, or is so touch sensitive.
Yeah.
I would just clean it up from the guitar. But, of course, if you want, like, super, super clean, if you're doing some funky stuff, you know, you'll get there, but you can't beat a clean amp for that, you know. So when you are doing a pedal platform thing, you can have a nice clean amp setting. But yeah, I still like a bit of hair.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing I love about my my Dr. Z Z-Rec. I have never ever played an amp that sensitive and responsive to touch before. Like you know, it breaks up early, you know, it's impossibly loud. Man, I've never played anything that responsive before. I just love that amplifier.
Is it a 20-watt, 30-watt?
It's a 30, and I have the combo, and it has the built-in attenuator that you pay extra for on the back, which even at the combo is Dr. Rick will tell you, it is a if yours has that one, it is a 100% necessity for everything except outdoor gigs. I mean, shit, I played it a year ago at Raven Stadium here in Baltimore at a football game, outdoor, open air. Still had to put the power attenuator on.
Oh, wow.
What? Come on.
You got to come play where we play on a Sunday night, where we just crank up.
These mid-Atlantic sound men are very sensitive people. They're very sensitive people. You have to tiptoe through the tulips with them.
Yeah. I noticed Steve, I could be wrong unless he's fallen asleep, but I wondered if – oh, no, there he is.
Sorry, I'm just nodding off over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they, no, I'm –
what's the deal with the – no, what's the deal with the orange amps behind you here, mate? I don't think I've seen them before.
By the way, you guys all have such great rooms. It's so great to see all –
I know, right?
Mine's well, just posters, mate. It's not that impressive.
Orange was a company started back in the early 1960s.
All right, we'll go a little ahead of that.
Yeah, I met the Orange dudes at TGU, and we did a little thing together called Void Your Warranty. And then we sort of kept in touch, and I said, you know, if you ever want to send anything over. And so these aren't for me to keep. These are just loaners. But mm-hmm. they sent over a Dark Terror and a Brent Hinds and a 212 and like a couple of solid state amps, the CR120.
Wow,
and,
cool.
I think the CR30 mm-hmm. and a little one. And then even the tiny micro one. This is the one I poured the beer on.
I like that guy.
It works.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, no. That's it.
Still smell like beer?
A little bit. You know. And it was signed by the founder of Orange.
Oh, wow.
I was going to do a giveaway on it. And I probably still will. But
you know what you should do is a joke video. Mic that one up and say it's the big one behind you.
Yeah, just run directly through TH3 with that big aerial rig. You know, people are like, where's that delay coming from?
That's cool. I just noticed I hadn't actually seen them before. I only caught a few minutes of your live stream the other day. When was it, yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah,
Everyone went live yesterday. It was like the day to go live.
It was last night. It you know, I just got the urge around 1 a.m. to strike up a live show. Well, no, what it was is Baker was on early, and then I was doing family stuff, and then Tone King was on, and then he was pushing up, and I had a full coffee, and I was like, well, I guess I can go live. I just cranked it up, went live for a little bit. And then, I promoed this live show, as a matter of fact.
Oh, thank you.
I promoed this one last night as well.
Yeah, thanks for that, guys. I appreciate it. I know I saw all the stuff going up on Instagram and all of that as well. So, yeah, that's cool. We've got 182 people here. So almost much as a regular Fantastic. Steve from Boston live stream in the first 10 minutes before everyone realizes it's live. And then it goes to about 500.
So, guys, with 182 people watching, we have 64 thumbs up. We should try to get to 164. Can we do it in the next 60 seconds?
There was a time when I first got on YouTube where my video would have 300, like, views. And it would have, like, you know, 15 likes. And I'm like, I'd be like, how come it's not 300 likes? I was watching this video and not liking it. How is someone watching this and not getting around to the like button? That's a long time to get used to. It's about 10%, I find.
It used to be YouTube used to, like, at 310 views, it would pause and not show you an update from 301. Yeah. So, and I remember, like, when you had like 50 subscribers and you're watching, you're like, refresh, and then I'd go to be at work, come back, look again, 300. Come on, what, why that?
Well, it just went, yeah, you're right. I remember that, actually. Yeah, you're right. That's awesome. We got up 96, so thanks, Lewis.
Awesome. You know what's interesting? I watch like some like of these prankster YouTubers, like Nelk is the big one I've been watching lately. They're pranksters, right? And it seems like in a 10-minute video, the first 5 minutes, they're promoting their merch.
Yeah.
Shirts. Come on, guys, let's get to 5,000 likes on this, you know, subscribing. And I'm like, I don't. How would that be received in a guitar, guitar community?
I
did a video on like a pedal, like, "Hey guys, here's a tuner, but before we do that, let's get 5,000 likes on this. Go buy my shirts." You know, I think people would be like, "What the? What did I just watch?"
It's funny you say that about certain YouTube things. Because something came up on my home feed. It was, I think, it's about 2 months old. I won't say the person's name because I don't want to, put bad on her, but. The video title was called Cleaning Out My Wardrobe, and it had like 250,000 views. Yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me? All the work we put in. Yeah. It's like, this is girl, she's got about 500,000 subscribers, and she's cleaning out her fucking wardrobe. Are you kidding me?
It goes to show, like, people, it doesn't even matter what gear you use for videos. In the end, it comes down to just the most random things, or the topic or interest in the person or whatever it is. It's crazy. I just want to give a quick shout out again to Jamal here, who uses Super Chat as well. Said, much love to all of you. Feel free to send a GitCon t-shirt. You know what? I think mine might be a bit too small for you, mate, but being that I'm 5 foot nothing, but I'll see if we can. I'll pick one up for you if I can.
I do wish I nicked a couple of extra ones, actually. It would have been cool to be able to give them away.
Jamal, are you watching at home, in the car, at work, or some other? Jamal watches from everywhere. So where are you watching from? Always.
Yeah, he's always awake. It's amazing. I think he sleeps like 3 hours a day.
Does Jamal work at an airport by any chance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because one time, I think it was Shane. I joined your live show, and he was like dressed in like airport attire. I'm like,
yeah. Really? With the sticks. He's like, excuse me, guys. I'm
like, that's dedication right there, man. Yeah. So, Jamal, give me one of those right there, man, for being dedicated. Man, I remember that.
He works hard, and he's got some great gear too. Actually, he's a little unassuming.
Oh, yeah,
with some of his really, he's got some really nice guitars, and yeah. I'm trying to convince a few of these guys to start putting some videos out as well. You know, it's always good to sort of see or get other people involved that have been sorry, I got the camera locked on you, Lewis. So there we go. Just some of the subscribers to actually put some videos out as well. It's kind of cool to
absolutely
see what they've got and get more people involved because it's a good thing.
Speaking of that, I got my first video I ever recorded was on Mike CGS's forums for an unboxing of chips. And the first thing he's to blame for everything I've done since then was unboxing. That's how I was nicking the States too. There was a James from China on the forum who was a great, real
guy. He's still around somewhere.
And so I was nicking the States, throwing a video. And then Hunter from Aggiefish, I think, also threw his up. And Hunter immediately glowed, was making faces, was doing crazy shit. I'm like, dude, you got to do more videos. You're awesome, too. It's humble little corners of the internet. So thanks, Mike.
That's an absolute pleasure, my friend. Thank you for coming in there.
Now, Mike, have you transitioned to an alcohol-based beverage?
I might have had just a small one.
I thought
what's your drink of choice?
Well... Sorry, I love the ice.
Crushed ice. Crushed
you're an honorary American.
That's good American JD. I love JD.
Look at that. That's I didn't know you had ice over there.
Yeah, we do. I've got an ice machine.
Open the window. Open the window and put your arm out.
I love it.
I know. The first thing I did, I got to the hotel in Germany. I ordered a vodka tonic, and they gave me vodka and tonic with no ice. I was like, oh, my God, how am I going to drink this?
That's the funniest thing that I heard from Steve. He couldn't handle having any beverage without ice.
My beverages have to be between 33 and 35 degrees Fahrenheit.
Correct. Correct. That is absolutely correct.
That's it. That's the acceptable range.
Right. That's it. 38, get out of here. Do a lap.
38, beat it. With your room temperature. That's room temperature in Boston.
Did you guys notice that even the mini fridges were at like 68 or something? No. Like even the bottles wouldn't perspirate. You know, like you say, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to get a six pack of beer or some water or Gatorade. I'm going to put them in here, and you come home and you open it, and it's like it feels the same as your hand. Like it's like what is like it's just cool enough so that it doesn't spoil, but it actually doesn't get cold.
Maybe it's because they put a fridge in a small, like a small airtight wooden box, and it just reheats itself over and over. Like it's trying to cool itself, but the hot air that it's creating is just going straight back into the fridge. I don't know.
You stick your key card into that slot at the beginning.
That took me about 5 minutes.
Nothing in that room.
Well, we never got a chance to use the mini bar, did we, Steve? Because you, me, and Mike were down there until about 2 o'clock in the morning most mornings. I think we said goodnight to the janitor on the way in.
Well, you know.
That's true. Yeah. A couple of those nights, I stayed up and edited and got into the mini bar afterwards.
Good work. Good work.
Yeah.
Good. And hopefully those will be repeated, especially for the NAM people. Oh, hello.
Say hi. Hello. Madeline just wanted to say hi. Hello, and she's going to drag me off in 5 minutes to go help put it in bed and give her the last of her meds. Say hi.
Hi.
Mads, what do you have to say about cancer? Do you want to say it's a bad word? Say, go ahead. You can say it to hundreds of people.
It's fucking stupid.
<That'd be fun. laughs> she just comes out of it with a lot of spunk, but oh my God, she's got a potty mouth now. It's hilarious.
Brilliant. And here as well, man. Here.
Six months ago, stupid was the S word, and none of the other words existed. she's absolutely lapped the field. She's
good for you and your family. Seriously, that's
yeah, man.
Yeah, that's good, man. Life is we're lucky in so many ways, and that's the key thing. We're thankful for it.
Yeah. All right. So, what's next on the gear agenda, guys? Anyone gassing for something they've seen recently, or?
I don't know if you, Boss just did a press release, I think 2 days ago. They have a whole new line of amps out. They're analog. They're not
Boss amps.
Katana. Boss amps are based on Waza, and it's very much like the CR120, and then it's all analog. It's just a straight up analog amp. And they came out, and I'm not making this up, they came out with a reactive load box that like, yeah, so they're trying to get into the aux / two notes area, and it has effects in it, you know, and it does IRs, and it's got effects in it, and it also has like a little power amp, I think a Class D, so it's kind of small, it's got a little Class D output. I don't know what its ratings are, like if it can handle a 100-watt amp or a 50-watt amp or what its power rating is, but... I just thought that was interesting. That
do you see any pricing on it anywhere, Steve?
I think it's going to be pricey. I don't know. A lot of people were saying, you know, is it going to be like the aux? Is it going to be like, so what's the aux? About 1200, 1300?
Yeah.
Something like that. Sure. Right. So you got the two notes live, that's at $999. You got the two notes studio, that's like pretty much double that. It's around $2,000. So I don't know where it's going to lie. Is it going to be 1500? Is it going to be 1200? Is it going to be 1000? I don't know where it's going to be based on the extra effects that, you know, I'm seeing that it has in it. And they're, you know, they're talking about all these extra bells and whistles over, you know, other products. I'm going to say it's going to be closer to like a studio model than it is going to be like the live model. I think it's going to be more like 1500 than it is going to be 1000, but we don't really know yet.
I have to check that out. I love that sort of stuff. I've got a 700 in Canada, as well.
Someone just posted. So what's that? 700 in Canada. That's about what, 1,500 US and like 4,500 Australian.
Yeah, exactly.
Might be like 1,000 US at this point. I think it's.
Yeah. You know what? In 1,000 US, that's probably a pretty good value proposition. If it is really going to be that low. Once you get to like $1,299, that's like 30% more than the live.
Here's a trip to anyone in the United States. Wait till a musician's friend has a 15% to 20% off coupon. Call in, and when they say no, hang up, call back in and ask the next guy. And by the third guy, they'll give you the 20% off coupon on pretty much it. Everything. Everything. Take advantage of a sinking company.
There's a video in that, Nick. You should put that together. That's awesome.
That is amazing.
PRS just put out a press release, right? PRS, right? They have a new Paul's guitar.
Yeah, they have a new Paul's and a new acoustic and a couple other things.
A new SE, I think.
Yeah. Right? I only read a little bit of it, but yeah.
Yeah. So that's new.
So Lando just brought up about Fender just released the Champion 50 XL. I actually reviewed that. It's going to go live Monday at 8 a.m. And Steve, you mentioned earlier about Sir guitars. Maybe that'll show up in that video.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Lewis, you're a shocker, mate. You don't need any encouragement at all, but...
Actually, hold on. I gave you misinformation.
Are you with Chuck Levins for this?
No. So actually, I gave you misinformation. The Fender Champion will be released Tuesday at 8 a.m. And as a courtesy to Fender, since they sent the amp, I used a Fender guitar. I used my Malmsteen.
Cool.
But Monday, I did the Cinnamon Drive, which is actually a pretty cool pedal, and I used the Sir for that. So
nice.
It actually sounded pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, when I saw that post, were you just at Chuck Levin's?
I was. Not today, though. Today they had – did you go today to the event?
No, I didn't, but I saw that post, and I was just like, man, we should have hooked up. I'm only 40 minutes away.
Oh, I didn't realize you guys were that close to each other. That's awesome.
Well, so next time I go there, I'll reach out and we could hang out.
Yeah, let's do that.
I got about 8 videos there. I'm 3 in. This week I want to release some review videos, so next week I'll do the remainder of the Chuck Levin videos.
Cool. Looking forward to it.
But they're great people, great store. If you're ever in the Maryland area, that's the place you want to go.
Oh no, that's pretty much the spot. I mean, yeah. they have and for anybody watching. You know, they probably have the deepest PRS inventory as far as, you know, stuff in that back room. Did they take you back there and show you some of the stuff they have back there?
Yeah, it's insane.
They have, I don't think anybody has more, like anybody.
Well, for those that don't know, Paul Reed Smith used to work there. That's where he cut his teeth, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a very good relationship there between Chuck's and Paul. And I think they, you know, there's a... I don't know if special treatment is the right word, but there's definitely a relationship there.
It absolutely is the right word.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you've ever gotten an opportunity to spend any time with Paul or get to know him, he's an incredibly loyal person, and the people that supported him in the beginning are with him till the end. He's very much that type of dude.
Yeah.
Did you shoot some videos prior to now there, Lewis? Like, did you do like a walkthrough or something?
I did a walkthrough where we were down in the basement probably over the summer. So I was just there a couple of weeks ago. And I actually have some interesting videos coming out. We did Gibson 2019 models. We covered Sir models. We did Sir versus Gibson, Sir versus Fender. And then, of course, the stuff I just released, which was their special 60th anniversary PRS and Fender guitars. So we got a lot of good content. From the without, truck visit.
Without sounds spoiling it. Your video of the Super Champ, the Champion XL 50, mm-hmm. I had a chance to play one the other day. What was your overall opinion on it?
You know, I think for what I said in the video, and I don't have a problem telling anyone, I think for the price point, it's satisfying. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit for everybody, you know, that type of thing. You know, it goes from clean to dirty, and there's effects built in, and for whatever the price is, two and change, you know, there's a 12-inch Celestion speaker in the back. If you're looking, whether you're a bedroom rocker or maybe your first gig, Battle of the Bands, it's a no-brainer. And you know what? It says Fender on it, mm-hmm. right? It's not going to be a hunk of junk. Listen, you could go spend $200 on a no-name brand on Amazon for the same thing.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was pretty impressed by the sound of it, to be honest. My only small thing with it was I found like the clean channel was nowhere near as loud as the dirty channel at all, like not even close. I don't know if you noticed that as well.
I did notice that the volume, like I was at half. I had to lower it because of the camera. I didn't do any special mic. My XA20 has a nice shotgun mic. Mm-hmm. So I actually did the video with the room mic. And it actually came out pretty good because otherwise it's hard to mic up a combo. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I thought it sounded pretty good. But yeah, the volume I did notice right away that it is. And it's funny, I didn't mention it because I didn't think anything of it. But now that you mentioned it, yeah, the volume I had that up at about halfway.
Yeah.
In front of me, and I
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it was almost like conversation level versus the drive channel, yeah, which will blow, you know, yes, blow the windows out of the place. It was weird because yeah, I love like solid state amps for their portability, and usually you can plug them in and they're, if you find one that's loud, they're usually pretty good. And yeah, I felt like it was so close to being easily loud enough for a small, like for a small gig, easy, no problems at all. But for the clean channel was just like, I had it up at 3/4 of the way up and the drive channel was around half or less than that, and it was like, whoa, man, what a difference. So maybe they've done that so you can put pedals in front of it or something. I'm not too sure what their what their thought was, but overall I thought it sounded pretty good. And in Australia too, they're actually pretty cheap. The deal price is like $330, which was really appealing because you can't buy a Coke from the shops for $330 here, so like, it was a good deal.
You can't buy a Celestia speaker for under, you know, $80-$90, right? Just the
cheap. No, you're right. Yeah.
So what are you paying for the amp? 100 for, you know, 1x12 combo, two channels, foot switchable, reverb, delay, all the effects. It's like, it's a no brainer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the street price on that over here is about 220. It's insane. Yeah, wow. You know, I think that's going to be the amp that, you know, I think that's the holiday amp right there. If you're getting your kid a guitar, get them one of those, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And they keep it simple. You don't need any, excuse me, you don't need any like computers or phones or any of that crap. You can just use it. And that's kind of cool.
Well, that's very good. When I did a video on the Katana versus the Viper, I got dinged on that pretty hard because everyone was like, dude, you got to plug the Katana into the, like, whatever it is, the computer. Yeah. And I'm like, if I'm walking into a music store, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm plugging into two amps and just seeing the difference. And people didn't get that with the video. They're like, no, you got to hook it up and download all this stuff. And that's, I'm like,
come on, mate. We all know you're on the payroll. You just did that just to, no, I'm joking. Yeah, yeah.
But it's, you know, and that's, listen, I've said this. That's how I bought like a bass amp as a non-bass player. What I did was when I bought my bass amp, when I got my first bass, I walked in, I plugged into every amp and I made a decision based on what I heard.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's, I've always said this to people who are after a Katana. I said the biggest limitation of it is you need to have it hooked up to a computer to get the most out of it. You know, any amp where you can just walk over and fiddle with, I mean, they're great sounding amps when you get them sounding right. But, you know, I got, Rick and I have a mutual friend who's got one, Rob, and he had it out a couple of times at the jam over the last, I don't know, month or so. And he can't quite get it right. Like he sets it up at home and he takes it out and he's like, oh, damn, I really want to tweak the delay, but he's kind of screwed. It's either on where he had it or it's basically off. So there's none of that quick edit on the fly unless he's got it hooked up. And I think, I don't know, man, I'm a big believer in getting the phone and the computers away from your guitar amp and just, you know, plug in and play. I think the functionality thing is going to make a resurgence at some point over stuff that you can hook up to your phone. I don't really know how necessary that is. But I got to say, the one good thing about the, you know, Bluetooth amps, if I know the Katana is not a Bluetooth amp, but just in general, is you can stream music through them and use it as a, you know, as a, you can play Spotify through it and have it as an
amp. Well, I was going to say to you actually about the Jackman literally behind you in the corner there.
That's the one that you played, mate, that exact one. There it is.
Yeah, I know. I love that amp, man. It's great amp.
Yeah,
well, I have one now, so we're always forgiven, and me and Rick are friends again.
Yeah.
But it's a great amp, isn't it? It's I think everyone played it, I think, didn't they? You know,
Which amp? Oh, there you
the
go.
Jackman. Yeah. The Joyo Jackman.
Yeah. We're gonna shoot another video of these here where we've got our, you know, better control over the audio. But yeah, just
by the way, if you want the granddaddy of that, it's the Molnair. Did you see that one? The Molnair. It's the hold on, I have it right here. I'll show you. Hang on. It's basically that, but it's the full size. Hold on.
All right.
Yeah, it was the first one they came out with back in the day, a little bit, or maybe 2 years ago, was it?
Yeah. Okay.
Remember?
No, I really like it. That Jackman, I think it's such a beast of an amp. You know, for something you can pick up with your finger.
I really like this one. My friend mine's got a Mesa Boogie Studio 22.
That's the gainer one. Yeah, it's gonna be more.
Man, what a great amp!
Oh, here we go.
So this one here is the.
That's pretty.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
put that in your rucksack.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, Lewis, I want to make you an offer, mate. While I got you here,
you want to trade this for the Jackman?
I want to trade both of these. Oh no, we'll just start with this one. I'll see if you go for this one for that Soldano. Come on, man.
I don't think so.
Oh, so all right.
Speaking of the Soldano, I recently picked up secondhand a Reverbosonic, and I always like the hot rod behind me. Let me tell you something. I am sold on the Reverbosonic as the best Soldano I've ever plugged into. The reason why is because it has reverb built in.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap into the loop. It's, you know, it's got a tank at the bottom. I think it's like an electronics. It just sounds phenomenal. I picked one up at a great price, and it's actually upstairs. So when I practice, it's in a 2x12 enclosure. That's what I'm practicing on is the Soldano Reverb 212. And the thing sounds. I think it may be one of the best sounding amps I own. The thing just sounds.
And you got a few by the look of things.
Yeah. I think he's got about four.
That amp is just unbelievable. It really is.
I can hear an EVP in the background.
EVP?
No. It's Nick's daughter, I think.
Yeah, I got it.
Like, you know,
don't steal it for me, guys. She's been the show stealer.
It's so funny you say that because I keep taking my headphones off and being like, Is that my kid? over and over again.
I couldn't hear her talking to me. She's whispering, but she's right next to the mic, so you're picking it all up. But I'm getting pulled off of the thing. But, God, you want to say something to everyone, Mads?
Hey, Nick, nice to meet you, brother.
Nice to meet everyone I haven't met before.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of the call.
Nice to meet you.
Shane, as always, thanks for putting this on. It was great to be a part of it.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
What a doll.
Bless. Yeah, definitely the show stealer tonight. Definitely. Yeah. Cute as a button.
What I thought I'd do for the last 15 minutes coming up in just a little while, we'll just take all the questions from the chat. What do you reckon?
Mm, yeah.
If anyone wants to ask anything.
I'm gonna pause for a second and use the bathroom and I'll be back.
I was going to do that as well. So
I'll be right back as well. Hang on, guys.
All right, cool.
Oh, man, we're on our own.
Yeah.
It's only four of us left. Steve's
do you guys ever buy from Reverb, and what do you think about them? That's from Andrew Collins.
Hmm. That's what I just think. Because I find when I shop on Reverb, the prices, and I know people can make offers, and people have done well with their, you know, by making an offer below what they're asking. But when I tend to look around on there, I find their prices are more like eBay in that they're a little bit higher. Like Reverb and eBay tend to be a little bit on the high side. And I find Guitar Center used and really Craigslist to be more in line with reality.
Yeah.
Is there an English version of this as well? Or?
No, I don't
know. Not really. I'm not really for... especially with guitars, obviously amps are one thing, but I don't really like buying guitars online. I like to play it.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Because, you know, you could see it. And I mean, I don't, you know, sometimes with specs, it goes above me a little bit. Like, you know, 1.21 gigawatt this and all that kind of stuff. It's like, if it feels good, I want it, you know.
Someone's been watching too much Back to the Future.
That's why.
Man, Mike McFly is my hero.
That's another reason why I use Guitar Center used, because I can always just bring it back. It's got like a 45 day return policy.
Of course, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The only ones I ever buy online are stuff to show on the channel. I never buy a guitar that I'm going to take, you know, out to play and stuff.
Hmm. Yeah.
Without going to play it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't think I've ever bought a guitar online. Ever.
Cool. I've got some friend of mine that done it. I'm like, you nuts. I just, you know.
Although I have a feeling my next purchase online might be worth it, although I think I'm probably going to go back and have a look at it.
What you think of it?
But, you know, you got to be able to set them up yourself. And a lot of times they come in a little rough and they just need a new set of strings and someone looking at it. A lot of them are in a state of neglect. But, you know, you can do really well. I tell you, man,
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to go back to Mark Neukirchen to look at the next one I'm buying.
You see that Sherwood Green 62 Fender AVRI with 69 custom shop pickups? Yeah, I paid $5.99 for that guitar.
Get out of town. Wow.
Nice.
$5.99.
That's so good.
That's one of the few ones I actually bought in person. We drove up to New Hampshire to get that one.
Wow.
So I went to go get you guys something. I wanted to show you something. You ready?
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Is it porn?
Close your eyes, Jeff. Oh, it is. It's guitar porn.
It is porn.
Wow.
So oh.
We got to lock it on a Tone King.
Yeah, I
heard porn. I'm back.
There we go. Oh, yeah. Welcome Shane. Back, Mike. Oh, nice, man.
Ooh, look at that.
That's a Sir Harley Benton copy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is oh, someone made a really hilarious comment on the chat of the video of the unboxing of the Harley I did this week. They said Gibson have nearly reached the same standard of fit and finish and quality control as Harley Benton. They could be in trouble soon.
Absolutely. So did you buy that, did you, Lewis? What's the deal with this one?
Yeah, so I did some shootouts at Chuck Levin's with this guitar. Shot this out with some Fenders and with some Gibsons. And let's just say I didn't bring the Gibson or the Fenders home.
Right.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Is that Guthrie Govan kind of specs? Is it similar to what he had in his, or is it a completely different?
I'll be honest with you. This is a straight up super strat without, it's got a traditional style 2-point Fender-esque trem. I think it's made by,
Godot.
Who made this one? I think Godot. Maybe Godot.
Got the humbucker on the neck.
It's got the humbucker, single humbucker, push. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Push. Yeah.
It's and all this, the now.
Yeah, this top is actually limited. There were apparently only 250 made. It's called a Curly Maple.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful. That's the one I chose when you put them all up on Instagram.
Right.
I chose that one. That was the nicest.
The neck is just a straight Strat-esque. It's 24 fret, though. And I'll tell you, it's just a lot of room to move around. It's just a great instrument, you know?
Cool.
Beautiful finish. Look at that when it catches the light.
Good looking guitar, man.
Beautiful finish.
Not too bad, right?
Not too bad. That's not too shabby at all.
Yeah, got enough stands for this one as well, mate. You got a.
I got another stand right here. Put it right there. Never have a shortage.
That's good.
Never have too many stands.
I've hit, what's his name up? Dylan at Hosa. He's probably sent me like 15 guitar stands, and I'm already down to like my last one.
Yeah. Well, what I did last year or the year before, I can't remember. The same thing when musician's friend goes on sale, I like the those are ultimate stands. I like the ultimates. They're like $20 each, and you know what? Actually, sometimes the Fender stands, I forget what they're called, but Fender, you know, it's the neck hanging stands. I was getting them for like $9 a piece on deal of the day.
Ooh.
I'd buy like 10 of them, $100.
Yeah.
10, you know, good quality all metal stands, you know. So I think you just keep a lookout for the deals. And you know what? If you could get 10 stands for $100, like even if it just stays in the box until you need it, you know, it's always a good investment.
Yeah.
I just bought 9 for £26.
Nine
Another one of those. Multi-stands.
Yeah, those are good too. Those are good.
That's nice.
Nice, yeah. Man.
You may want to put get an old t-shirt and cut out little squares and let the guitar rest on the t-shirt. Like if you have a black t-shirt. Because sometimes what I heard was the padding, because there's oil in the padding. It could actually affect if you have like a, you know, like this sort of finish, the natural. I heard it could
nitro.
So just get like an old t-shirt, cut little squares, and rest the neck on that, so it's not resting right on that oil-based foam.
Cool, man. Thanks for the tip. I'll do that.
In fact, when my wife went to like Bed Bath & Beyond or one of those stores, you know, like the home goods stores, they sell like black bath towels, you know, they're perfect size.
And oh, right. Get a
with it, like
that's
not even
a that's an amazing sounding shop. Bed Bath and Beyond. We yeah. have we, when we're wow. in hospital over here in the UK, a bed bath has a different meaning.
It does.
The best was when on the Homer Simpson went to go buy a gun and he went to Blood Bath and Beyond.
Oh my god! Nice. But I do that on all my guitars, unless the stand. Like what I like about Ultimate. They really say joking. That
sorry.
They won't affect the paint or nitro. Ultimately,
yeah, it's a good call, man. That's yeah. a really good call because they're like a foam rubber covered yeah. foam. So they will after a while they'll degrade. Although both of those have been up in the roof of the garage since we moved about 3.5 years ago, and I just put them out because I wanted to get a few more. I'm getting too many guitars in here. That's the problem.
Hey, Mike, I think I need to get some uplighting like you have. Your uplighting is out of control.
It's kind of in control, but I think it looks pretty sweet.
No, it looks fantastic. I feel like a slacker watching your
set. Oh no, man! Seriously, I feel like I'm on the set of a porn film, though. That's the only thing.
Well, you know, to each his own. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, keep pushing it up.
What can I say? And then Dr. Rick brings the dog on.
That's right. Yeah. You know, for some scheduled face licking.
Yeah, your time. What's got any peanut butter?
Who has the peanut butter?
Is that a mastiff?
No, this is an English Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
Oh, beautiful.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. She likes the creamy.
Show off her guns. She's got the best. Like,
rich, man. Stop there.
From the front, she's all like just an absolute tank.
Yeah, she is.
Beautiful. What's her name?
Stupid. Hey, stupid. No, it's Lexi, and she's making a hell of a racket. I'm sorry. Yeah. So I thought I'd just bring her on here and amuse her for a bit.
Oh, that's all right. We couldn't hear her anyway.
Yeah.
No.
It's all right. It's always.
She was under the desk.
Dog her, Rick. You get it? I like that.
That's very cool. I dig that.
Dog to Rick.
Beautiful. All right, guys. If anyone has any specific questions for anybody here, go for it. Ask away. I'll keep an eye on this and I'll
hit us.
We can all jump in here. We've got about 13 minutes left. So, again, thanks everybody who's on. You guys for being a part of this, and thanks. Everyone.
No, Shane, we really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Yeah. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm more than happy to. If anyone else organizes one, I'm more than happy to jump on too. So just let us know if you want to host one or whatever. I'll be in.
Yeah, we should do this quarterly or something.
Yeah,
absolutely. We should make it a regular thing. It's nice, really nice.
You know what?
I know, Shane, you didn't want to sort of. Have it all about GitCon because people who weren't there would find it very boring. But I just wanted to say, while all the guys are around, that that was an amazing week. It was, you know, I find myself when I'm at my surgery during the week, I'm just daydreaming, looking out the window, thinking about what a great time we all had. It was wonderful.
It was awesome.
It was very special. I feel very privileged to have met each of you and to be invited to be able to do that. And everybody that was there were so nice and so helpful and good players and it was overwhelmingly positive. And it doesn't always happen all the time that you enter an environment where it's just so overwhelmingly positive and you come back. And even my wife told me when I came back, she was just like, "Man, you're different. You're just in a great mood. Like you obviously had a great time.
It was awesome. I have to
present those... with me and the kids and everything." And I was like, "It was phenomenal."
Yeah. Well, Steve from Boston was there too. Don't forget.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, yes, he's a giver, as we all know. He's a giver.
Oh, he's a giver, all right.
We love you, Steve. We love you.
So, I'm just but true. It was great. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know what they mean.
Which one of you bastards is going to NAMM again?
I'm going to NAMM.
And Mike Bradley.
And Mike
yeah,
Bradley.
Man. Yeah.
Oh,
oh I'm staying. I'm staying at the West Coast Inn. Have you heard of that?
I don't know.
It's about a 2 mile. It's about 2 miles away from the center.
Yeah. No.
Well, we gotta meet up and see if we can't get you that blue PRS in your hands again.
Yeah.
God damn, you sounded good.
Someone will have to distract someone.
I did have a chat with Jean the other day. She phoned me up. We had a little natter. But
I told Jean. I was just like, you gotta take care of your boy here. He's this boy's the real deal.
All right, she goes, yep, I'll give him $30 off. Done.
Yeah, exactly, right?
No, I don't think that's what's gonna happen.
So
you at least gotta come and you gotta check out Santana up there.
Yeah.
Well, man, we'll be having a good old lot of fun over there. But yeah, when she said about Mr. Carlos being there, that'd be
a good time.
When is this? What show is this?
NAMM.
Ah, Carlos Santana's gonna be at the
Oh, you know what? I just realized maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it's okay.
You did, Michael did. Quiet, actually, but yeah, I heard the same thing.
So I've got a question for Michael P. Yes. Is it a PV Wolfgang back there?
Yes, it is. All right. So typically, if you watch my videos, I have my three favorite guitars back here. One is this beat to crap Fender Bullet, which is in the shop again because it's spent his whole life in the shop because it's been neglected and abused and rode hard and put away wet, just like anything good should be.
Yeah. So,
put away wet.
Yeah. Oh, every time, baby, every time. So Dr. Rick will tell you. So over here is a Taylor 510. So that is a PV Wolfgang circa 2001. I'm going with, and nice. what I really like about that guitar. That's actually the last new guitar I've purchased. I haven't purchased a new guitar since 2001. I honestly, now that I think about it, that's the only new guitar I've ever purchased. I only buy used gear. But that PV is one of my very favorite guitars because it's just a firecracker. I love how ridiculously rock solid the Bird's Eye Maple neck is and the fact that it has the drop D tuner. So for someone who you wouldn't think this, but if you play in a lot of working cover bands, you have to go back and forth between drop D and standard a lot. And the band that I was in for the past 5 years, we would only have 2 or 3 seconds between tunes and we didn't have set lists or set breaks. So that guitar, being that it is a Floyd Rose, but not full floating, that's the key, not full floating, that has 5 springs against the back, so it's hard against the body, meaning I could break a string and it would stay in tune. I could pull it out in the drop D and it would be in tune. I can do pedal steel country bends where typically, like, if you're holding a string and then you bend the other one, it pulls the other string out of tune. It doesn't do that, so that would enable me to play heavy stuff, rock stuff, country stuff, and clean stuff. Yes, albeit all with the country sound, but with zero tuning issues, and I never had any. And so that's why I love that guitar.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
Has it got DiMarzios in it, like the Music Man had, or is it its own?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
All I know is the neck, man. The neck feels like a brick. Like you tap it, and it feels like you're tapping against the side of my house.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got a feeling it's been like, I know, obviously, he's with Ernie Ball, weren't he, before the PV.
By the way, you sounded great on that new Ernie Ball video you put out with that the single coils, man. Dude, I want to try one of those. I saw that video and I was like, I might could have to pick one of those up.
It's a damn good guitar, man.
I could tell that your face lit up, your whole mojo changed as soon as you put that thing in.
Yeah, I really like that. Yeah, they've sent me a couple of loaners. I've sent the Cutlass back, for the moment. But keepers
they call it.
But I've got a Stingray and a Valentine at the moment as well, and both equally lovely guitars, you know.
Are those all? Yeah, that cut. Are all those bolt-on necks?
Yes. Yeah. The Stingray is again. You can see the kind of Jaguar. It's got that offset kind of thing, but yeah. It's really nice, you know. And the Valentine.
And they're all maple. You can
yeah, these ones are. Yeah, but it's got the was it the roasted maple? Is that what they call it? And that Valentine, you can tell he's a big Teddy fan, James Valentine, Teddy fan, and a 335 fan. He's kind of merged them to kind of together. But the Cutlass has just been, that was the first time in a long time, probably since the Blue PRS. but I've been like, oh man, this is amazing. This is
was that the custom 24 that they had? That was that the blue one?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
That was a custom 24.
I'm sure Gene's going to send you one.
Don't tease me like that.
I'll give you one.
Yeah. How about a lifty?
You know what I learned after all my years? You don't get what you don't ask for.
Don't ask for. Exactly.
Yeah.
Rolled on January, Mikey. Rolled on January.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, Rick, was that the same Music Man we picked up at that other shop while we were away?
Yeah, the Cutlass.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What do you think?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful. We actually made a video of it. And
cool.
This was a high-end one with block inlays in the neck. And it was absolutely lovely. Just... again, like an over-engineered Stratocaster, just good.
It really rings out. I mean, I was playing when I got sent it and took it out. I was playing it unplugged for quite a while before I even plugged it in, and it really rings out beautifully. That's probably the best way of putting it. A higher Strat, basically. You know.
Yeah.
But I was cheeky and called the video the Strat Killer. But I put a question mark after it.
Yeah,
yeah. It did. Yeah. It wasn't floating. It was a fixed. I mean, obviously, it went down, but it didn't go up.
Well, see, that's the key, man. That's the key. For good tremolos to stay in tune, it's to just drop.
Yeah.
Do you want them to stay in tune, or do you want that vintage style trem that goes out of tune every time?
So you want the Hendrix trend.
It keeps you honest. My ears aren't that good, though. I don't want to be that honest.
You find yourself bending every string like crazy, trying to pull them back in a tune again because they went sharp by running over the nut and getting stuck. And you're like, oh, wait, is it the B string? And you're bending it.
Yeah.
You're like, nope.
Yeah. Hey guys, I just want to let everyone know I have to drop, but Shane, I wanted to thank you for having me, and to everyone on here, it's always great seeing you guys, and I look forward to the next one. And I'd be happy to host the next one. Maybe we could do one after NAMM. Since I won't be there, I could host it and ask you guys all the questions.
Yeah, man.
I love it. I love it.
Greatest NAMM ever.
It would be the best NAMM in the world.
And I'll watch all the videos.
All right. I'm not going to host it then. No. No, I'll put that together maybe the weekend after NAMM. And I'll just reply to this email thread and we'll get it going. But to everyone in the chat, it was great seeing you. Thank you. Leave you off with one of those. And Shane, thank you so much, buddy.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. Take care, everybody.
Lewis, take care, brother. Great to know you, brother.
It's funny because we're about to wrap it up anyway. So we're a minute off from 2 o'clock.
Yeah, questions here. What's it? BV Ninja. Yes, Pete. He's got a Cutlass. He's got a green one. Oh, Danish Pete.
Cool.
I've just seen. Actually, I saw him the other day, actually. I saw. Alan Hines, you guys know Alan Hines?
Yeah.
He did a masterclass for what Anderton's done, and I've known Pete for a while in that, so it's always good catch up of him. But Alan Hines is redonkulous.
Oh, yes, he is.
Of a guitar player.
Very much so.
He's crazy. He's a bit nuts. There's one bit, he started basically saying about you know, artists who do drugs kind of take them off into a different, and you can end up playing better. And he said, I can't remember it verbatim, but he was saying, like, you know, I can't say I've been an innocent boy in my life, so I've done some bits, you know. So I'm not saying do heroin, but if you do it in moderate amounts, you can play. You're playing would do well.
All right, so I know we're trying to wrap up, but real quick. So when I went to GIT in California, there was a whole class, a whole seminar based on no matter what you hear, you do not play better messed up. Like, it's not true. It is because, you know, you're in California and you come out there and everybody's musicians and they're just like, they sit you down, they put you in the auditorium and they're like, listen, I realize that, you know, you guys are who you are and you do what you do, but you will not be as good messed up as you are sober. So really try to come to school, come to the practices and come to the shows sober because you will actually be better. Like, they made a real point. They made everybody in the school sit down and listen to it.
I think all you have to do is film yourself probably in even intoxicated state and then
that's a good idea.
Kind of
like the live GitCon videos. I watched that back and I was like, booze playing.
Or just appear on Steve from Boston's live hangout, you know, that's the same thing.
Well,
I once heard a really wise thing, actually, which is that you tend to be, you write well if you're messed up, but then you want to play it sober. Yeah,
that's right.
So, yeah, that's mojo for writing.
There we go.
So talking of those live streams, I was going to say one thing about those live streams for GitCon is that next year I'm going to bring 10 tuners with me.
That's the Mike Bradley Little Wing tuning.
I watched that and literally I felt for you, like on my insides. Like, I felt for you. Like I realized I'm touching my microphone, but I was just like, oh, that's brutal. Just like when I had mine in the first two songs, that cable was making that hiss. And like the only cable they could find was a 6-foot cable, but at least they found a cable that worked. And I was just like, oh, I feel for you. I feel for you.
I want that Friday video off. I want it deleted.
I'm going to repost it to every platform I can find for you, mate.
Oh, it's so annoying. I didn't know. I've said it before in the last hangout. Like, I just couldn't hear what I was playing. So I didn't know that it was so hideously out.
Yeah, that whole part of GitCon needs to be rethought. I think we all agree.
Yeah, I gave some suggestions about that. I think we all might.
Yeah, I saw we all did.
All right, guys, hang on the line for one sec or on whatever. It's not a line, but hang on to the hangout for a sec. Just want to thank all the guys in the chat. Thanks to everyone who used the super chat as well. And whenever the next one of these comes up on the next channel, I'll help promote that. We can do it all again. Maybe get some other folks in as well if we do it on my channel again as well as you guys. So no, thanks for being a part of this. I appreciate you guys. I know it's late in England, so thank you so much for
Thanks for the invite, man. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Great to be with you guys. Love you all loads.
Hey, no worries. And all the links through to everybody's channels are in the description. Hopefully they're all there. I'm pretty sure I got them right. I woke up and I started finding all the links and put it in. So it should be fine. All right, guys. Thanks to everyone in the chat. And
thanks so much, guys. Thanks, Zach. Thank everyone. It's been good.
Thank you, everyone.